We're doing the laws of Shabbos, and today we're going to learn about the task of tying, kosher umatir. One of the 39 prohibited tasks on Shabbos is tying, and we'll have to discuss what type of knot is prohibited. And undoing a knot, when it's as we'll see soon. So this was part of the process of weaving. Sometimes the threads would tear, and so they would have to tie them together to continue the weaving process. Sometimes, if it tore and you made a knot, and then tore again and you made another knot, so then you would say, forget it, let me take out the piece with two knots and just attach, make one knot all over again with the two edges. So undoing a knot was also part of it. In the tasks of the Mishkan, so you had hunters, you had fishermen who would hunt the chilazon. The chilazon was some type of fish from which they got blue dye. And they would set out nets. Now, sometimes you needed larger nets, sometimes you needed smaller nets. And their nets, they would tie on the loops of the net, they would tie on the pieces. So that's the source of the task of kosher and matir. Kosher means tying, matir means undoing a knot. Technically, these are two separate tasks, but they're intertwined because we're going to see that they have almost identical criteria. What knot is it biblically prohibited to undo on Shabbos? A knot which it is biblically prohibited to tie on Shabbos. Okay, so when I know that knot is midoraita, biblically prohibited from tying, I know that that's a knot that's biblically prohibited from undoing. Where is it rabbinically prohibited to undo a knot? The same knot that is rabbinically prohibited from tying. Yes?
What is the criteria of biblically prohibited?
We'll get to that in a minute. That's the next step. So, if tying it is going to be permissible, then undoing it is going to be permissible. So, the two are connected. The idea that undoing a knot is the same knot that I'm prohibited from doing on each level. We have that with other tasks as well. The task of korea is when you would tear cloth in order to sew it more accurately. Sometimes part of the sewing process is tearing. Mochek, the task of erasing, is part of the task of writing. As you're writing, sometimes you have to erase something to continue writing. So erasing is also intertwined with the task of writing, and so too the task of soter, which is sometimes you have to knock down a part of a building in order to continue building. So that's soter al menat livnot. You're undoing, you're tearing down for the sake of building. So we have tasks that are connected. So now we begin. What is a knot that is biblically prohibited? So here we have basically a few approaches among the Rishonim, and these approaches divide on the biblical and the rabbinic prohibition. And we are stringent on it. So if I'm going to make a tight knot, a knot that's going to be very strong, that's one type of knot that's prohibited. If I'm going to make a knot, but I'm not going to make it so tight, only I intend to leave it there with permanence, what would be an example of that? Let's say you have a high chair, and your kid has a belt in the high chair. Now the belt came loose, so you're going to tie that belt back onto the high chair. Your intention is that that belt should remain there forever. Right, you're going to use that belt, but the one side has to be connected to the chair. So when you tie it on, your intention is it should remain there. So we have knots that we tie with the intention that it should just remain. It's not going anywhere. It's supposed to be there. So that's also biblically prohibited. An evolvement of that is double knot, or if I have a knot that I'm going to make it so strong so that it doesn't open up. So that would include if I take one rope, one string, and I just tie it on itself. So that's going to be a knot which you take a string. You take a string and just make a knot like we do at the end of the tzitzit. Let's say you have tzitzit and you don't want them to unravel. So what do? At the end of the tzitzit, you make a strong knot. But that knot is one knot, right? Yet your intention is it should remain there. Your whole purpose in making that knot is that the edges of the tzitzit should not unravel. You took one string, you tied it onto itself, you made a tight knot, and your point is it should remain. So there you run into a problem of isur kosher. What about if tying a tie? Okay, a tie, tying your shoes. So here we have a knot that you're doing in a way that you could open it. Your intention is to open it. And you're going to open it that day. So that's mutar. Our criterion is it's not extraordinarily tight, and it's not there with permanence. So this goes in both directions. Let's say we said tying the knot at the end of the tzitzit, or do we have a talit here? I left my talit in another room. No one has a talit here. Okay, the way we make tzitzit is we make a double knot of the four strings, and then we wrap it around, and another double knot, right? That double knot, your intention is it should stay. What happens if on Shabbat you notice that your tzitzit are opening up, the knots of your tzitzit are opening up, so you're not allowed to tie them on Shabbat, because you're making a knot which you intend should stay there forever, right? When you tie your tzitzit, your point is it should stay there. Yes?
When you were talking about a double knot, is that referring to when you tie your shoe, double knot? Because that's not supposed to stay forever.
Right. So that involves a few more criteria we haven't gotten to yet about how we're going to tie our shoes and why. We'll get there. Because when you tie your shoe, you do a few things. You first cross the laces, make a knot that has no permanence. Then you do two loops, and you put them around, and you tie that. That's for sure not a problem. The next knot, so we have to discuss a few more criteria, which Be'ezrat Hashem, next week we're going to finish with the shoelace and the tie that we wear. Be'ezrat Hashem. We'll get there.